Certainly grateful that you are here today, and have a little bit of a different lesson that I want to share with you today. As you know, about 2 months ago, I brought a lesson of admonition to the congregation with regard to the 9 a.m. service, which had some good success, and talked about the need for zeal and strengthening. I'm going to do it a little bit different today, and I hope this is beneficial to you. I know that you are aware of the fact that our calendar is turning over to the year 2024, and it's always been the case throughout the history of the calendar. A new year to most people signifies, in a way, a new start. In reality, it's just another day, but resolutions are a typical part of our celebration of the new year, and it is an appropriate thing. It is something that I always try to keep in mind, and there are things that I want to share with you today. Maybe what we might refer to as congregational resolutions for this 2024 year. But the reason I'm doing it at the 9 a.m. hour is because, first of all, I want to express my appreciation and admiration for you for being here at this early hour and the consistency that you show in so doing. And I think that while many of us who are here today indicate strength by that attendance, I want you to remember that our coming together as a congregation is to strengthen one another. And so what I would like for you to do is take it as maybe a special challenge for you in the 2024 year. 2024. I remember when it was 2000 and thinking that was something. But 24 years later, or the start of the 24th year, we have as a congregation a need to grow and to strengthen and to become more close to one another, get to know each other better, and to strengthen and help each other. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 expresses that as good as any passage of Scripture in the New Testament. It was the purpose for establishing the local church as God had in His mind. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It said, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so we can, of course, note that the work that the apostles did, the prophets, the work that is the efforts that evangelists today and elders and teachers, it's to strengthen every child of God. If you are one of the teachers or a faithful child of God, that's something that should be in your mind, not only to grow yourself, which is an important part. You've got resolutions to do that. I've got a few to share with you today. That's good, but really make an effort to strengthen others in this congregation in the coming year. Because these efforts that we have, whether it be our attendance, the love that we show for one another, the hospitality that is shown, a fellowship and association in the local church, discipline even from time to time when it is necessary, these are designed for the purpose of making a congregation stronger. Numerically, spiritually, in every way, we can grow as a congregation of God's people. And so the purpose of these individuals that he gives in verse 11 is for the edifying of the saints. So speaking the truth in love, this is verse 15 of the text, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body. Now it talks about all of us. The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. And if that were be the theme of the lesson this morning, is just consider yourself a joint in the body. Consider yourself as one who supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, the growth of the body through the edifying of itself in love. And so that's something that you can do better this year than what you have done in the past. I can do better than what I have done than in the past. And there are a few things that I want to share with you that will help you personally, but help our congregation as well. And this list is given on the front page of the bulletin if you would like to get it electronically or go in the back and get one a little bit later. But there are purposes for each group. So the first thing I do want to talk about is attendance, but I want to keep in mind when we discuss attendance, the passage of Hebrews chapter 10 that we commonly turn to, it is not a self-serving verse. In other words, it is not something that helps you individually. The whole thrust of it is to come together and study as a congregation and worship as a congregation and involve yourself in the congregation as often as possible because of what it does for your brethren. The good that it that it accrues to those others that you come into contact with. In other words, the primary thing for us to think about, not the sole thing, I guess the primary thing would be worshiping God, but the primary thing with regard to our obligation of attendance is outward rather than inward. Yes, we are blessed by it. I guarantee you, if you come to every service of the church, you're going to grow stronger as a result of that. And I know I'm speaking to the choir somewhat by coming at 9 o'clock, but at the same time, you can encourage others to attend as well and be more prolific in their attendance, because there are so many offerings that that we can, as a congregation, take advantage of in the coming year. Now, that text of Hebrews 10, and especially verse 25, it says, or 24 and 25, consider one another, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, exhortation of others, considering others. That's the whole point of that. So, what do we have in offer? And I put the list down. You'll remember that we have supplied a congregational calendar to where you can access these things on your phone anytime you would like to, that has everything that I'm going to mention, save one, with regard to attendance. So first of all, attend every meeting of the congregation that occurs weekly. So that's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and the 11 o'clock hour on Sunday, as well as the Bible classes on Wednesday nights at 7:30 p.m. But also, we have two meetings a year. They are, unless otherwise indicated, and this may be something all of you know, it may be something that some of you may not, but the first full week in May, starting with a Saturday, the first full week in November, starting with a Saturday, is when we do our meetings, unless there is some conflict with the preacher we have invited. So we have Brother Brett Hoagland coming May 4th through 9th this year, and Brother Jesse Flowers coming the 2nd through the 7th of November. And it would be good for everyone to come to every night of the meeting. I can tell you that the effort, and I know that Brother Hoagland and Brother Flowers will do the same, but the effort that Brother Fancher gave forth this past gospel meeting was so beneficial to our congregation. He's a unique preacher. I've heard him quoted a number of times by individuals and how helpful and beneficial it was. Different preachers have different styles, but these are men who are talented and capable and are going to strive to strengthen you and to help you. And just as Brother Fancher did, these men will as well. Also, the triannual singings, February 17th, June 15th, and October 19th. We've got them on the back of the bulletin if you would like to look, as well as that calendar. The singing class, each fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're trying to learn new songs. Justin did a fantastic job this last Wednesday night doing that very thing. And those who were able to come and those who were on time were individuals who benefited from it. Ask the ladies to consider the attendance class. I know that Debbie just brought it up again, and we're looking at the survey. Just now getting started looking at the survey with regard to when would be a good time, because we've always done it at 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday morning. And they've changed it a little bit in the last year. Instead of doing it every single Wednesday, they've gone to two Wednesdays a month, but made them an hour and a half long. But we can make a change if y'all are interested in it, if there is a need, because I know that some of you are working and not able to come at that time. So we're open to change to help as many ladies as possible to study, as well as, of course, the men, with regard to the men's studies that occur once a month as well on the second Sunday, to come to those things. It will be beneficial to you. Also, men, please consider attending each men's meeting on the second Sunday immediately after the services. There is nothing that is more important than that to determine the best way to use our resources and to deal with the matters concerning the church. We need the input of all the men in that regard. So with that, the only thing that I want to add to it, because this is a little bit different and not on the calendar, but there is a possibility, and we're going to try to do this more, not as a congregation, but as individuals. There have been several that have committed to it, and we're hopeful that all will, to be coming together about once a month. In a social setting, in a sense, but also not only social to get to know each other, but to learn about our needs. And we're going to kind of do that with the personal work groups if men or if couples or any individuals are willing to host it in their home. I certainly strive to do that as a part of our group. But in those kind of fellowship, those social events, you're invited with your brethren, opening your home for hospitality. And when that happens, okay, they're going to have a singing at so-and-so's house on the such and such day, but I'm not going to go. Or they're going to have a Bible study, or they're going to have just a get-together. And you know what I did yesterday? I went to a park. You know where the Westworth Village Community Center, we've had potlucks? I went to the park on Saturday. It's a new one. It's built right there by the community center. In fact, you park at the back of it. And that's a great park. It's got 17, 18 picnic tables under a big pavilion or two big pavilions. And while it was a busy park on Saturday, still about 10 or 12 of those picnic tables were empty. And I was thinking maybe next week, I'm going to go and see today, if the facilities are open and inside so you can go to the bathroom, and if the picnic tables are not full and that kind of stuff, maybe we can get together in a week or in a couple of weeks and we can have a get-together. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for us to just do that more often and get to know each other and to strengthen one another in that way? So that's kind of something to keep in mind with regard to the attendance. The second thing that I want to note is the importance of studying. And, of course, study, I wrote down here Psalm 119 and verse 57. You could go anywhere in the 119th Psalm, but listen to these verses and the love that the psalmist had for God's Word. He said, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of mercy, your mercy. Teach me your statutes." You look at all of that reference to these things, I'm staying with it, I'm keeping in it, I'm obeying these things. The reason why is because he knew what it was. And that takes, of course, study. So this is something I would like to encourage you to do as a congregation, to read every bulletin from front to back. Are you doing it? Because the number of copies that I put out, paper copies, has dwindled from 70 down to 20. Now we're a smaller congregation now. But I put 20 out and usually have 4 or 5 left. And Yvonne takes about half the ones that remains to mail them out. So not too many people are taking a paper bulletin. It may be that you've already gone to the electronic version, but the point is we do our very best to supply good writing talking about God's Word. And most of them are written by me, but I also take very important and good articles by other men to teach those things. And you have access to it. It's a way of studying God's Word. I would encourage you to do that. As well as reading through the Bible this year. It's a resolution to do every year. You say, well, you do that every year. Well, there's a reason, because you need to read through the Bible constantly. And I came across a good reading schedule. It's on the back in the foyer as you leave. And we'll announce it in the 11 o'clock hour as well. But the Old Testament and New Testament read concurrently. The readings take place 25 days of the month, so if you get a little bit behind, you've usually got 5 or 6 days to catch back up each month that are built into this. In addition, what you do is you read through the wisdom literature, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, at the same time that you're reading through the rest of the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, you read the Gospels along with the rest of the New Testament at the same time. So it's a varied readings. They're not as long in one book as it would be if you otherwise just started at the front and read to the back. And I think you'll really enjoy it. So take advantage of that as well. So keep that in mind. Now the third thing that I want to note is the importance of just basically getting to work. Just get to work as a Christian with regard to edification, evangelism, helping your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a text in Luke chapter 12, there in Luke 12 in verse 42, the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" So this is stewardship. This is a lesson, at least in part, on stewardship. It is required in a steward that one be found faithful, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Notice what he says here. "The good and wise steward," or faithful and wise steward, "his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. He says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Now look at the parallel. It's a very simple one. We will be blessed if we are working for the Lord when the Lord comes again. It's a simple concept to have. When the Lord sees us, we are prepared by our activity, by our steadfastness, by our industry as Christians in the realm of edification, in the realm of evangelism. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat male and female servants to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So just keep that in mind. We don't know when the Lord's going to come. Today is the day to get ready. And there is so much you can do. That's why we put the duty rosters in the back every single year. And I am so grateful that such a good effort has been made to start the new year to be part of the work that this congregation needs to have done. There are just things that we have to take care of that need to be taken care of. You know, we spent a lot of money in past years because we let janitors and lawn companies and all sorts of individuals take care of it for us so we wouldn't be bothered with it. But that's not the best thing to do. Best thing to do is take care of it yourself. That's a duty that we can fulfill. So that's a part of it. It's not the main part with regard to the duties I'm talking about, which are edification and benevolence and such. But with regard to that, volunteering for the duty rosters as a congregation, involving yourself in the personal work groups, I appreciate Rachel and Ellen and the point that they made is why don't we spend that maybe a couple of hours each month or an hour and a half or something, getting together in someone's home, apart just that group and getting to know one another. Or trying to encourage the individuals who are on the list, and the list are on the back, by the way, we're going to change that up in January of this year. So go get one if you haven't gotten one yet. Starting next Sunday. And coming to those meetings and being involved in it instead of saying, no, I'm not going to be interested. How can you say such a thing? This is beneficial. We're trying to work it better, and it is a way to encourage those who are visiting with us, encouraging those who are in some way being neglected in the church or have a need for health reasons or have a need with regard to encouragement and in strengthening yourself. Now, with that in mind, get to work, and there are many other things that you can do in that way. But those are two that congregationally we're striving to do. The next one is, of course, to preach to those who are lost. Remember the text. And this is something individually. We're doing this as a congregation in the meetings and other things we involve ourselves in. The preaching, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've gotten up over probably around 85 visitors or subscribers to our YouTube channel, but there are an awful lot of people that watch our YouTube channel every single Sunday, and I appreciate the fact that they do. There are people who are sharing it with others. There's a lot that you can do if you can't preach yourself, but remember the text of Mark 16 when he gave his great commission to his disciples on that occasion. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the apostles aren't around anymore, but the need is still there. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe will be lost. That's the way of salvation. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, and we are the laborers in the harvest. And it's something that you need to be doing, sharing the gospel message with other individuals. So keep that in mind and the importance of it. And then there are two other things that we want to note in the time that we have remaining. The first one is found in James chapter 1 and verses 27. So this is a personal and private one rather than congregationally, but it's going to help strengthen you so that you can help others. Basically, is get busy doing what it means to be a child of God. That is the practice of pure and undefiled religion. Because the practice of pure and undefiled religion for God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so I'll just note that on the front bulletin there is that mention to work on your righteousness, to resist worldliness and the temptations that come across. Maybe it's time for you to make a resolution that I'm going to watch less TV, or maybe stop watching a few TV programs that I have watched that are a little bit sketchy, or maybe not go to some of those movies that I've gone to in past times, or not read some of those books that I've read in the past times, or not pay as much attention to worldly things as I have through previous years, and try to really actively, strongly work on your righteousness, to resist that worldliness and unrighteous influence. And then secondly, because that is keeping oneself unspotted from the world, the second one is to practice benevolence and kindness to your brethren, visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And again, it is the case that there are times when perhaps those who are older are neglected and they're alone and they feel that loneliness and they need our encouragement, and it's something we can help them with, to be a part of it, to be one of us. And young people, you can especially note this, because I know why you do what you do. It's fun to visit. I appreciate so much y'all standing after. Y'all are the ones that stay the longest. Sometimes I'm ready to go home and lay down, go sleep, and you're still in here visiting and talking. But it is sometimes talking to each other when you could. Before you start talking to each other, go talk to some of the old people. Get to know them a little bit better. Show them your love. Give them hugs. Talk to people who need to be included in the church, and also help them when it is needed. Benevolence and hospitality. Benevolence can be helping them out of your pocket if you have that need. And I'm not talking to young people now, I'm talking to everyone. But it also can be giving something. It is a benevolent thing to just make a meal, cook a meal for someone, and say, not when they are needing it, when they're sick or something, and just say, hey, I've made this and I'm going to bring it by to you. Maybe something reheat the next night if they've already made their own supper, or whatever the case may be, and just give it to them or do something for others. And that's something we can certainly work on as a congregation. And then the last one, and this is by no means an exhaustive list. I'm talking about things that we're trying to do as a congregation, things to protect ourselves and strengthen ourselves so we can help others as members of this congregation together. The final one I want to raise, though again, it's not an exhaustive list, is above all, just pray. Really make an effort to increase your prayer life in this coming year. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time making petitions on behalf of others. More time categorizing the benefits that you've received from God so you can offer up thanksgiving to Him. Spend more time praising His name. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, there is that question, is anyone among you suffering? Do you suffer from time to time? Well, let him pray. That's what prayer is for, is to help you during times of suffering. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So we, although we don't have elders in this congregation, if we are aware of others who have need because of illness, be sure that you pray. Pray often for them, not just on the first day of the week when it's on it and say, pray, or this. And I don't know that anyone does this, but this, I'm worried about this. And I don't want to say anything negative about anything I've seen. I just wonder about it. So on Facebook, someone expresses a need and need for prayers. And so you write down there, praying. Well, writing praying in the comments is not praying. And I hope that everyone who writes praying in the comments actually is not just saying a prayer, but is consistently including that individual in their prayers, because that's what makes it so beneficial and helpful. Now listen to this. He says in verse 17 or 16 of the text, he said, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does much good. And then he uses Elijah as an example in verse 17, a man with a nature like ours. You know what that means? That means that while Elijah was a prophet, and we consider him the greatest of the prophets, and he was a standout individual, what the writer James wants us to know, in effect, that he does not have the answer to his prayers because of who he is, but because of the fact that like us, any one of us, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous Christian does much good. Man or woman, doesn't matter what is the case. We are known that as a man like us, he prayed earnestly, it would not rain. It didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, and then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain. That's the power of prayer. If God desires to fill in and to answer your prayers, it is according with to His will, that effective and fervent prayer that we offer up for ourselves and for others will be answered by God. It will be answered in the affirmative if it's according to His will, if it's what He desires for us. So pray. Pray for yourself and pray for others. And these are things that I think will help us in the year 2024. And I hope and pray that at the end of the year, we've had some losses. We had individuals that had to leave or decided to leave for various reasons. And many of them are beneficial reasons. They are helping other congregations. That's a good thing. But we want to grow. We want to grow physically. I don't care so much numerically. I just know for the fact that if we grow spiritually and we strive to preach the gospel and we strive to do our best, the numerical growth is just basically a matter of course. It is what's going to happen as a result of what we're trying to do. But I want all of us to grow spiritually and to strengthen one another in this coming year. And you who are here today can do a great bit of that work if you're willing to do so in encouraging others. So keep these things in mind, and I appreciate very much your kind consideration. Let's start. Let's start today. Let's start for sure tomorrow and the next week as the new year begins. We offer the invitation at this time to anyone who is here. If you have a need, whatever that need may be, if you've not lived up to what God desires you to be or to do, today is the day to turn it around, to begin that new walk or that stronger walk as a child of God. And if we can assist you in any way or assist you in beginning that walk, we offer it to you. Will you come while together we stand and while we sing?